relationship and they're feeling very depressed in general. Sometimes we find that beginning to deal with them individually really helps. And it helps them feel better, and it also helps them, it helps put them in a better position to deal with the marriage then and begin to make changes in the relationship as well.
Well, you know, Steve, that I ask you here today because
solvable, and whereas the entire set of problems seemed really overwhelming, as they work through, they begin to see that little by little they've been reducing that set of problems to something that is very manageable.
Well, what can a woman do with her problem as her husband?
Well, that brings us full circle back to the point that we started. And oftentimes when people are depressed, they do begin to think that the relationship is unsalvageable, that nothing can be done. And in fact, when a person is feeling a little bit better, then they may begin to see things that they can do to deal with the relationship better and to help things improve. If her husband is willing to come to therapy with her, then of course that opens up a whole range of possibilities where the two of them can begin to learn different ways of talking to each other, can learn ways of listening to each other and feeling listened to, can learn different things that they may begin to do for each other to make each other feel cared for, and they may learn different ways of approaching problems so that they feel that they're working together on solving those problems instead of fighting each other.
Don't you think that both coming to therapy together and being willing to work on these different behaviors indicates an enormous reservoir of goodwill and hope for the relationship?
It certainly does.
And that perhaps if you had those things in place, then almost anything would work.
Well, it certainly is true that what psychology has to offer and what psychologists have to offer is helping people move in a direction that they want to move in. And if people come to therapy really being willing to invest and really being willing to make the effort to change, then sometimes we can tell people things that other people have tried that has worked for them, and we can give people suggestions, and we can point people in directions that they might not have thought of on their own. But certainly, I think you're right that the decision to seek out help and work together certainly does demonstrate that there's something that people really want to work for.
Actually, it's almost irresistible. I'm sure you know the joke. How many psychologists does it take to change a light bulb?
I don't know the joke.
Only one, but the light bulb has to really want to change. We're really almost out of time. How can somebody get in touch with the Marital Therapy Clinic? If a woman is listening who is depressed or who has marital problems,
mm-hmm.
How can she get in touch with the clinic here at the university?
The number to call is 246-3403, and we are also listed in the yellow book under the University Marital Therapy Clinic. So if the person who's listening didn't have a mm-hmm. pencil to write that down, they could also look up the number.
And what are your fees?
The fees are determined on the basis of income. The standard fee that for therapy is $40 a session. There is a sliding scale based on income, and so the fee is lower in some cases. And in addition, we do work with people in terms of insurance reimbursement as well.
Okay, good. Thank you very much. I think this holds out some real possibility for help for women who are depressed and have marital problems. I've been talking to Stephen Beach today, who's the assistant director of the University Marital Therapy Clinic here at the University at Stony Brook. I'm Jenny Godwin, and this has been Tribute. Thank you. Good day.
preceding program was a pre-recorded presentation of WUSB, Stony Brook.
Hello, I'm Barbara Bloom, producer and host of Second Bloom, WUSB's weekly call-in show, heard Wednesdays from 2:30 to 3:30 p.m., devoted to issues of concern to everyone, with particular focus on people over 40. Join me each week for a lively discussion on such topics as euthanasia, older adult abuse, lifelong sexual vigor, new medical advances, and much, much more. So I'll be hearing from you soon on Second Bloom on Wednesday's call-in program from 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. on WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM.
Send me a postcard, drop me a line, stating points of view.
Primary, Thursdays, 2:30 in the p.m. Primary, with Jim Caligiuri and guests from the music business. Primary. Music, talk, and your phone calls. Tune in to Primary, the first words in music, Thursdays at 2:30 in the p.m. at 90.1 FM, WUSB.
Welcome to Chatterbox, the Monday afternoon call-in program where we talk about all kinds of things. And today, the day before Election Day, we're going to be talking about politics, local politics, Long Island politics, and just who's running and who's voting. You can give us a call at 246-7901. Our guest for today is Robert Matheson, who is running for Suffolk County Executive. Mr. Matheson is not quite here yet. He's on his way. So if you would like to call up beforehand and make a general sort of a comment, you're quite welcome to do so. Our telephone number is 246-7901. Now, the job of the Suffolk County Executive, which currently has five people running for it, is a job that pays $65,000 and is proposed for a $6,000 increase next year. The job oversees a government with more than 11,000 county workers and a budget that is proposed to be $898 million in 1984. Now, this information comes courtesy of Newsday. When H. Lee Dennison took office as Suffolk's first county executive in 1960, the population of the county was 670,000, and the Long Island Expressway had not yet snaked its way into Suffolk County. His first office included only a desk, a chair, and a cardboard box, and he was supplied with a county car suffering from a broken clutch. He answered his own phone, scribbled his speeches on the backs of envelopes, and drove himself, often at breakneck speeds, from one engagement to another, as I'm sure Mr. Matheson is doing right now, occasionally suffering the indignity of a ticket. The changes in the county executive's office befits the changes in the county itself, which has doubled in population over the past two decades. The office of Suffolk County Executive occupies the seventh and ninth floors of a high-rise in Hopog, named after the late Dennison. There is also another suite of offices for the county executive in the Riverhead County Center. These days, there are two sets of secretaries and receptionists to go through before the county executive can be reached by phone, and an administrative staff of 104, costing $3.4 million. Speeches are prepared by staff aides. And when the county executive travels, he is chauffeured by one of the police security squad assigned to the office. Now, five men are seeking the job for the next 4 years. One-term incumbent Republican Peter F. Culhallan and his challenger Assemblyman Patrick G. Halpin, Democrat of Lindenhurst, Independent candidate Robert Matheson, Liberal John R. DeLavora, and right-to-life standard bearer Kenneth Diem. The election is being viewed with interest because in an off year, it's the largest contest in all of New York State. Its principals, Culhallan and Halpin, are considered bright stars with substantial political capital tied to the results. And the prime issue, the opening of the Shoreham nuclear plant, has nationwide repercussions. Now, the Suffolk County government includes a community college with three campuses and more than 20,000 students, 18,000 acres of parklands, a network of 8 health centers handling more than 170,000 patient visits annually, a police department with 2,500 officers, social services department with more than 100,000 clients, a county jail with 600 prisoners, and 19 sewer districts, including the $640 million Southwest Sewer District. The executive and his staff must prepare the budget, develop programs and legislation, ride herd on nearly 24 department heads whom he appoints and can fire, and squeeze as much aid as possible from state and federal governments. The executive must also lobby for his legislative proposals with the 18-member county legislature, which often goes its own way. The candidate that is elected will be faced with ongoing problems on Pine Barren and farmland protection, a final solution to the refinancing of the Southwest Sewer District, and maintaining government services in light of ongoing cutbacks in federal aid. Again, our telephone number here at the radio station is 246-7901, area code 516. Give us a call and tell us what you think of this race of elections in general. Are you going to vote this year? If so, why? If not, why not? And let me tell you something about the man that will be here soon, hopefully. He is Oak Beach Inn owner Robert Matheson. He's no stranger to Suffolk politics. Matheson has, in fact, had more than his share of run-ins with town, county, and state officials, most recently being this Saturday when he was arrested in New York City. I'm sure he'll talk more about that. That's the most recent I know of. Who knows, there may have been one today. His independent campaign for Suffolk County Executive marks Matheson's first attempt to run for public office, a campaign the businessman entrepreneur says gives voters an alternative to the politicians. Matheson is 41. He's a successful businessman who has carved out a profitable empire centering on his ownership of the Oak Beach Inn, Suffolk's largest discotheque, along with other restaurants and businesses. His businesses have frequently pitted him against local governments in fights over zoning, noise, parking, and other complaints. And if you've ever seen a Save the Oak Beach Inn bumper sticker, Robert Matheson was behind that whole campaign. Matheson, who will probably outspend his opponents, plans to spend $200,000 on his quest to unseat Peter Culhallan. Most of it will be his own money. He has done radio and cable TV commercials, set out numerous signs on roadsides, and has shaken hands all over the county. The businessman, who said he had not voted for several years, initially enrolled as a conservative in a bid to gain that party's nomination. When the endorsement went to Culhallan, Matheson tried to run a primary but failed to get enough signatures to get on the ballot. He then collected enough petition signatures to qualify as an independent. Matheson, who is separated from his wife, was graduated from West Islip High School and then spent 6 years in the Army National Guard. He is the father of 2 children. Matheson agrees with opponent Patrick Halpin that the Shoreham nuclear plant will open, but Matheson goes further and says it should open, calling the nuclear industry a very safe one. The main theme of his campaign has been to hammer away at the politicos, who, he says, control government for their own interest. He also points to his successful appeal of several claims against the Oak Beach Inn as evidence of his ability to fight City Hall. I know how to run a business, says Matheson, maintaining that county government should also be run like a business. He said he wants to remove governmental interference from businessmen and restore government's function of providing services and assisting in building the county's economy. Matheson also supports a move to have the county's East End towns secede to form a new Peconic County and the building of a closed dome stadium in the county. He opposes the state's $1.25 billion infrastructure bond issue. Now, I'd like to hear from our listeners about these issues. Do people want a Peconic County? Do you want three counties on Long Island? Do you want a closed dome stadium? What does Suffolk County want? What does Long Island want? Let's hear from you. The number is 246-7901. Now, there are other candidates I mentioned earlier, Kenneth Diem and John R. DeLavore, who, in fact, we are currently attempting to have on our station to spout their views. And stay tuned to USB. We'll give you details about that. Kenneth Diem, who is 44, had one overriding reason to run for Suffolk County Executive. None of the major party candidates would accept the Right to Life endorsement. Diem, a retired assistant manager of a frozen food plant, is chairman of the Suffolk Right to Life Party and is running to give voters a chance to cast their ballots against abortion. Neither of the major party candidates cared enough to stand up for human life, Diem said. As chairman of the party, he said he would rather give the Right to Life endorsement to major party candidates. But in the absence of a willing candidate, the Right to Life Party will field its own slate, he said. In each of the face-to-face debates with the major party candidates, Diem pounds home his theme. The 1.6 million babies, he says, are aborted every year in the United States. Diem attended the New York School of Printing in Manhattan and served in the U.S. Navy as a petty officer from 1956 to 1960. He has been active in the Knights of Columbus, the St. Francis de Sales School Board in Patchogue, the Scouts, and the Little League. He and his wife Eileen have seven children and three grandchildren, and they live in Farmingville. For Diem, his opposition to abortion is the central campaign issue, but he does have positions on some of the other issues that come up frequently among the major party candidates. He says there is no way Long Island can be evacuated, but that the opening of the Shoreham nuclear plant is inevitable. It is a reality, he said. The licenses are being issued. It's going to open. Let's make it as safe as we can. But he adds there is no safe evacuation plan. It's a joke. On the major issue of the campaign, Diem has sided closely with the Democratic candidate, Assemblyman Patrick Halpin. Diem agrees that the Long Island Lighting Company's Shoreham nuclear plant is going to open, although he personally thinks it will be a disaster. He agrees with Halpin that there is no way Long Island can be evacuated. Diem also says that preserving the quality of Long Island water has become a critical issue and that the county has not done enough to ensure good water quality. Water quality is the most crucial issue facing us on the local water, he said. We should spare no expense at all to clean up our water systems. But in answering each question on other issues, Diem usually comes back to his anti-abortion crusade, maintaining that it is a real and critical danger facing the county and the country at large. And there is one more candidate. Let me give out our phone number one more time in case you have comments or things you would like to say. 246-7901, area code 516, and our phone lines are open right now. John R. DeLavore is running as the Liberal candidate for Suffolk County Executive, and the Suffolk County Liberal Party's chairman is also the party's candidate for the top job in the county this year. John DeLavore, who turned 47 a week before Election Day, is no stranger to campaigns for the public office. He ran for the state assembly unsuccessfully in 1962 and 1964 and has been actively involved in other candidates' campaigns. For the last 18 years, DeLavore has served as head of the Suffolk County Liberal Party, using that position as a forum to encourage the minor party's candidates and to try to serve as an alternative political force in Suffolk. DeLavore has lived in Dix Hills for the past 16 years and on Long Island for 14 years before moving to Huntington. He is married and has four children. Through the influence of the state Liberal Party, DeLavore has held patronage posts in the state legislature, working for the Democrat-controlled assembly and as an aide to a Buffalo assemblyman. Most recently, DeLavore was a member of the State Crimes Victim Compensation Board for 4 years. One of the most important qualifications, he says, for county executive is ability to negotiate. He points to his experience as an administrator as his qualification. DeLavore says he is running to give voters an alternative and because he believes they should hear viewpoints other than that of the major party candidates. I think the people have a right to hear an alternative, he said. He would like to see a federal government take over the Long Island Lighting Company, as well as other utilities. He is a strong supporter of legislation to preserve the Pine Barrens and to conserve Suffolk's vanishing farmlands. He also believes that the sales tax should be abolished because it is unfair, forcing people who make vastly different amounts of money to pay the same tax. He advocates abolishing all taxes except federal tax. He also says he is running for a personal reason. In 1982, he was fired from his job on the Crime Victims Board because, DeLavore says, he supported a losing candidate. No employee should be terminated for any reason other than misconduct, he said. Well, if you have any statements regarding any of these candidates that we've been talking about, all five of them, for the Suffolk County Executive, please call up and let us know who you're supporting or who you're not supporting and why. And if there are any other races that you're interested in, by all means, give us a call on that, too, and let us know who you like and who you don't like. There are certainly a lot of things going on tomorrow. It's an off year, but that doesn't mean that it's going to be a dull year, by no means. There are all kinds of races for county legislator and all kinds of propositions on the ballot. Must remind everybody that they are listening to the program Chatterbox, and our guest for today is supposed to be Robert Matheson, who is running for county executive. Hopefully he's getting closer to us by the minute, and if anyone out there knows the location of him, please give us a call, 246-7901, and with any luck, he'll be here any moment. Yes, it's kind of a hectic day, I understand, the day before election. And we'll see just what happens. Why not run over some of the county legislators? Yes, some of the races in the first legislative district. We have Gregory Blass, William A. Kelly, and John T. Rather. Gregory Blass is the Republican nominee. He's also on the conservative line. He's a graduate of Fordham University and the Fordham University Law School. He's an attorney in private practice in Riverhead and a former judge advocate in the U.S. Navy, where he served from 1975 to 1978. Like most of his colleagues in the legislature, Blass opposes the opening of the Shoreham nuclear power plant, which would be a safety hazard, especially to East End residents, he says, because they would be cut off from escape in the event of a serious nuclear accident. He also opposes construction of any major court complex outside of Riverhead, which he says would devastate the economy of the town. Then there's William A. Kelly, Jr., 44, of Wading River, who's a custodian at the Wading River School. He's the candidate of the Right to Life Party. He ran for the county legislature 2 years ago and has also mounted campaigns for the state senate and municipal court judge. He is married and the father of two children. Kelly sees his duty as a candidate of the Right to Life Party to champion the rights of the unborn and the rights of the aged and infirmed. He also opposes the opening of the Shoreham nuclear power plant, which he describes as a threat to the right of life of all people on the East End. And John T. Rather, who is 39, lives in Jamesport, is a freelance writer, and he's the Democratic candidate. He's a former reporter and editor of several East End weekly newspapers, and a stringer for the Associated Press and the New York Times. A graduate of Lehigh University in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, Rather also teaches journalism at Dowling College in Oakdale. He's a native of Manhasset, who moved to Riverhead in 1976 after living for several years in California with his wife. They have three children, and Rather opposes the opening of the Shoreham plant, which he says he views as a monument to slipshod construction practices. He says he also is concerned about the dwindling availability of housing on the East End for low and moderate income families. He also opposes developments such as one proposed on the tip of Orient Point that would cut off key locations of natural beauty from public access. That's the first district. Now, in the second district, we have two candidates, John Rosso and Regina Seltzer. John Rosso is 49. He's the Republican incumbent, and he also has conservative and right-to-life lines. Rosso, who lives in Mastic Beach, became a self-made millionaire through various land development businesses before he retired and ran for the legislature in 1979. He also has numerous civic ties. He is married and has two children. Rosso says he wants to bring more public works projects to his district, and that includes a new county road through Yaphank and a new county marina for Shirley. He says he promises to address local needs and use his business acumen to save the county taxpayers' money. And Regina Seltzer, who is 54, is the Democratic candidate. She finished law school at Hofstra this spring and works part-time as a law intern for State Supreme Court Justice John Cohalan. She has served 4 years as a councilwoman on the Brookhaven Town Board and is a current member of the Brookhaven Planning Board. She lives with her husband and their child in Bellport. Seltzer faults Rosso for what she calls a failure to address the larger issues facing Suffolk, protecting the drinking water and planning for future development. She says she wants to ease the housing shortage the elderly face by paving the way for congregate housing complexes where the elderly have individual apartments but share social facilities to come to Long Island. So much for the second district. Let's go to the third district. Yeah, John J. Foley and Eugene S. Keishlin. Yeah, John J. Foley is 64. He's an incumbent Democrat seeking his fifth term. Foley received a bachelor's in social studies and secondary education from Manhattan College and a master's in American history and government from Columbia University. Between 1947 and 1950, he taught history at Bayport High School. After that, he worked for 25 years as a sales representative for an educational publishing firm. Foley and his wife live in Blue Point. They have six children. Foley says the Shoreham nuclear plant should be abandoned, but that if opening cannot be prevented, the plant should be operated by a public agency. He also opposes any attempt to make residents of his district or any others living outside the Southwest Sewer District pay the costs of the district. He would like to see a limitation on smoking in public areas and wants to see the county spend more effort helping the elderly. And Eugene S. Keishlin is 49. He's from North Patchogue. He's making his first run for office on the Republican, conservative, and right-to-life lines. He has a bachelor's in behavioral science from the New York Institute of Technology. In February, he retired as a Suffolk police detective with 23 years service. Keishlin opposes the opening of Shoreham and says non-residents should not have to pay for the Southwest Sewer District. He would like the county to expand neighborhood watch programs. He also would have Suffolk devote more effort toward protecting groundwater. Once again, our telephone number is 246-7901. Just how many apathetic people are out there, people who will not bother to vote tomorrow, or, for that matter, people who will not bother to call us to tell us why they're not voting tomorrow? Give us a call, 246-7901. It's not very expensive from anywhere, I don't think. And we'd love to hear your views. Tell us if you think that Robert Matheson would make a good county executive. Or if Peter Cohalan is a good county executive. Or whatever you're interested in. Our number is 246-7901. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. And the program is Chatterbox. We're on until 3:30. Taking your calls and talking about all kinds of interesting things. The fourth legislative district has two candidates, Rose Caracappa and Michael White. Rose Caracappa is 45. She's the incumbent conservative who's also running on the Republican and right-to-life lines. She is running for her second two-year term. In the 4 years prior to her election in 1981, she worked as a legislative aide to various presiding officers and legislators. She was born in Huntington, reared in Brooklyn, where she attended school and moved to Selden in 1963. She worked formerly as a real estate agent and was active in various Selden civic and service organizations. She is separated and lives with her three children in Selden. Caracampa says that Loco and Shoreham are the most important issues, fighting the utilities' rate increase requests and stopping the opening of the power plant. She said the second most important issue is keeping property taxes down, and she supports keeping the increases in the county budget within the cost of living index. She supports the continuation of the county's Stop DWI program. And Michael White, who is 31, is a Democratic candidate making his first run for public office. He has worked as an environmental planner for Huntington Town for the past 3 years and previously worked for 4 years as an environmentalist for Suffolk County. He also worked for 3 years as a research scientist for the Marine Sciences Department here at the State University at Stony Brook. He grew up in Smithtown and received environmental and earth and science studies degrees from SUNY Stony Brook. He is single and lives in Miller Place. White said the major countywide issue is the Shoreham nuclear power plant, which he said should not open because of evacuation problems and the cost of opening and operating the plant. In the 4th District, White said the issue really is money. He said he believes the public has lost faith in the officials who control the expenditure of public funds. White, who is a CSEA employee, said he supports keeping the costs of labor contracts down so the county is not forced to lay off workers later to counteract a budget deficit. Then we come to the 5th Legislative District, which is the immediate area around Stony Brook. And we have two people running for county legislator there, Steve Englebright and Ferdinand Geese. Steve Englebright is 36. He's from Setauket, and he is the candidate of the Democratic Party and the Ratepayers Against Loco Party. He is a geologist, founder and director of the Long Island Museum of Natural Sciences at SUNY Stony Brook, with a bachelor's degree from the University of Tennessee and a master's from SUNY Stony Brook. He is a technical advisor to the State Legislative Commission on Water Resource Needs on Long Island, a member of the Long Island Groundwater Project Oversight Committee, a member of the Long Island Pine Barrens Task Force, and a member of the Brookhaven Town Conservation Advisory Council. He is married with two children. Englebright says he sees a critical need for protection of the remaining 80,000 acres of Pine Barrens in Suffolk, beneath which is the critical watershed that purifies and recharges the county's water supply. He also opposes the startup of the Shoreham nuclear plant and supports public management of Loco. He supports a sewer plan for the area that would upgrade the sewage treatment plant in Port Jefferson and permit the piping of sewage into Port Jefferson Harbor from both the SUNY Stony Brook campus and the Strathmore community. And Ferdinand Geese is 70. He's from East Setauket. He's the Republican candidate seeking his fourth term with conservative and right-to-life backing. A retired researcher lobbyist for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Geese won his first term in the legislature as an independent, running with Republican backing. He is former president of the Civic Association of the Setauketts and former president of the Association of Brookhaven Civic Organizations. He is a widower with two grown children. He says he opposes the opening of Shoreham on the ground that it would require ratepayers rather than local stockholders to pay for construction. He said he considers himself a cutter of red tape for constituents and favors a sewage plan that would permit the State University at Stony Brook to pipe treated sewage to Port Jefferson Harbor for a limited time, after which a new sewage treatment plant at the university would allow discharging wastewater into the ground. Now, believe me, I would much rather be talking to people than reading out of Newsday. So if you are out there listening, give us a call, 246-7901. Even if you say something stupid, I would still rather hear from you than continue reading out of a newspaper. But here I go. 6th Legislative District. Donald Algrove and Ira Siegel. Donald Algrove is 55. He's a Republican incumbent who has the backing of the Right to Life and conservative parties. He's seeking a third term in the county legislature. Algrove chairs the Parks and Cultural Affairs Committee and sits on the Public Works, Public Safety, and Education and Youth Committees. Algrove taught in the Brentwood School District for 23 years. He's a father of four. He and his wife live in Commack. Algrove advocates the formation of an island-wide blue ribbon panel to study the area's water supply problems. He opposes the opening of the Shoreham Nuclear Power Plant and believes members of the Public Service Commission should be elected rather than appointed to make them more responsive to ratepayers. He lists as his accomplishments efforts to resolve drainage problems in the Wisconsin area and to expand the county bus routes. He also supports establishment of a preserve and recreational facility around Lake Ronkonkoma. And Ira Siegel is the Democratic candidate, who's also on the independence line. He's running for public office for the first time. A teacher in the New York City public school system for 12 years, he currently is an administrator at Livingston High School, a special education school in Manhattan. He owns a fire sprinkler inspection company. He has served on the Citizens Budget Review Committee for the Three Village Central School District and was president in 1975 and 1976 of the New England Village Civic Association. He lives with his wife and two children in Commack, where he coaches a girls' softball team. Siegel opposes the opening of the Shoreham nuclear plant and believes the Pine Barrens should be protected by banning development there. When asked what programs he would initiate if elected, Siegel said, "I only make one promise, that I'll do my best, the best I can." He said he has tried to make Algrove the main issue by attacking him as a do-nothing legislator. Our number is 246-7901, area code 516. Let's hear from you as we go to the 7th Legislative District. Michael Dandrey and Barbara King. Yes, Michael Dandrey is 60. He's running on the Republican, Conservative, and Right to Life lines. He is trying to win his first full term as a county legislator. Dandrey, who ran a Smithtown nursery before winning the seat last November in a special election to fill the unexpired term of William Richards, lives in St. James. He is married and has four children. Dandrey says he is running on his record, and he is particularly proud of two bills, one which would impose a cap on county spending, and one which enables the handicapped to receive self-serve prices at gas stations. He is opposed to the opening of the Shoreham nuclear plant and sees water as one of the critical issues facing the county. And Barbara King, who is 37, is a Kings Park businesswoman and school board member. He is making a bid to become the first Democrat elected from this district. A paralegal who also is a partner in an import-export firm, King is making her first run for office outside of the school board races. She is married and has two children. King said she faults Dandrey for his record and is particularly critical of his measure to cap county spending. She says that the budget cap would result in social services cuts. She also criticizes Dandrey for trying to abolish special elections and for voting for the CSEA contract. She says she is against the opening of Shoreham. You are listening to Chatterbox, and I'm the only person chattering away here. Our rather silent guest is Robert Matheson, who's running for county executive. And tell you the truth, we don't know where he is. He's not here, though. And doesn't have much more time left, that's for certain. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. Our telephone number is 246-7901. Please call us up and talk about something. Yes. Excuse me. 8th Legislative District now. We have two people running, James M. Morgo and Frank Sconzo. James M. Morgo is 39. He's running on the Democrat and High Energy Lower Prices lines. He has worked as a high school English teacher, been president of the Bayport Blue Point Teachers Association, and last year served full-time as executive director for the New York State Assembly's Committee on the Aging. This is his first bid for public office. He and his wife live in Bayport, and they have one child. He would like Suffolk to develop a public power authority to get low-cost hydropower develop a comprehensive program to protect what remains of the Pine Barrens and restrict further expansion of Long Island MacArthur Airport. He also supports a countywide rent stabilization law. Frank Sconzo is 59. He's running on the Republican, Conservative, and Right to Life line. He started his own aluminum shade and storm window and door business in Bayport in 1945 after serving with the 36th Infantry in World War II. He's a member of the Sayville Fire Department and Community Ambulance. He has been president of the local Rotary Club, Little League, and Veterans of Foreign Wars. He and his wife live in Sayville and have 7 children. This is his first bid for a public office. He supports the election of members of the State Public Service Commission, the restoration of the death penalty, and the expansion of bus routes in Suffolk County. He would like to see a spending cap on county government and would support strict measures such as harvest limits to preserve the clamming industry in Great South Bay. Well, we have a call at 246-7901. Good afternoon. Oh, boy, they gave up. You like that. Okay, well, if you want to try again, our number is 246-7901 and area code 516. Oh, boy. 9th Legislative District. Yes, we have 2 candidates running, John Donovan and Joseph Rizzo. John Donovan, 44, is a Democratic candidate and is making his first run for office. He is president of a family-owned security guard and private investigation firm based in Hicksville. In the early 1960s, Donovan was active in the Plainview Democratic Club and served for several years as an aide to the late Michael Petito, Democratic supervisor of Oyster Bay Town. He is divorced and lives with his 2 children, Hopog. Donovan said he believes the main issue is the squandering of tax dollars and the loss of credibility of government. He said ways to deal with those are to stringently review the county budget, to trim expenses and increase efficiency, and to hold down the cost of labor contracts. He said he would continue fighting Loco's proposed rate increases and supports rent stabilization. Joseph Rizzo is 56. He's the incumbent Republican who is also running on the Conservative and Right to Life lines. He is running for his 3rd term. He has been a Republican committeeman in Islip since 1960, served on the Islip Planning Board and the MTA Citizens Advisory Board. He worked for 30 years on the Metropolitan Transportation Authority and retired as a maintenance supervisor in 1979. He and his wife, Millie, live in Islip Terrace with 3 of their 5 daughters. Rizzo said he opposes the opening of the Shoreham nuclear plant because there's no workable evacuation plan. He said he supports capping county budget expenditures and decreasing county taxes. He said crime is an important issue in the district and that one way the county legislature can do something about it is to promote neighborhood watches. Moving on to the 10th district, we have Richard P. DeBraga and Philip C. Nolan, Jr. Richard P. DeBraga is 32. He's from Islip. He's seeking public office for the first time, and he's running on the Republican, Conservative, and Right to Life lines. A graduate of Amherst College, he received his law degree from Albany Law School. A bachelor, he is an Islip town attorney. DeBraga says local rate hikes are one of the biggest problems. He is concerned about such local issues as the mosquitoes, which have plagued the southern portion of the district, and what he sees as a need for more police on foot patrol in Brentwood. He says he would take an inventory of county services provided his district, such as road maintenance and health, to make sure my district is getting its fair share. Philip C. Nolan, Jr. is 33. He's from Islip. And also from Islip, he is the incumbent seeking his 2nd term. He is the first Democrat to hold this seat and also is running on the Taxpayers Against Crime line. He is the legislature's minority leader. Nolan received his master's degree in economics here at the State University at Stony Brook and a bachelor's in education from the State University at Oswego. Nolan is married and he has 1 child. And he's running on his record, stressing local controversies such as the fight to keep the Brentwood Long Island Railroad Station open. But he says the major issue is groundwater preservation. He supports a bill to give the county oversight if development is proposed for the Pine Barrens. He said landowners would have to be compensated, but you're going to have to spend more to protect the groundwater, or you'll have to spend a lot more in the future. Nolan opposes opening Shoreham because he says a safe evacuation plan can't be devised. 246-7901 is our telephone number. You're welcome to call us up with your comments and criticisms and opinions and all that kind of stuff. 246-7901, area code 516. And we only have three more districts to go. Yes, the 11th Legislative District. We have two candidates, Eugene Coughlin and Patrick Mahoney. Eugene Coughlin is the Democratic and Right to Life candidate. He's 44. He is making his second try for public office, having run a strong but unsuccessful race for Islip Town Council 2 years ago. Until January, Coughlin, who works for Eastern Airlines at Kennedy Airport, was president for 5 years of the 4,000-member Local 1894 of the International Association of Machinists. A Bayshore resident for 21 years, Coughlin graduated from Far Rockaway High School and has taken numerous labor-related college courses. He is married and has three children. Coughlin opposes the opening of Shoreham and rate increases proposed by Loco. He favors countywide financing for the Southwest Sewer District if the county's tax leasing plan fails, and opposes the annual $50 user fee and the county's use of highly paid consultants on the sewer project. To combat crime, he said more county police should be reassigned from rural areas to more densely populated communities with crime problems. In addition, there should be more education programs directed at youth to prevent drug and alcohol abuse, he says. Patrick Mahoney, who is 41, recently resigned as a detective after 20 years with the Suffolk County Police Department, and he's making his first attempt for office. He is running on the Republican and conservative lines. Until his resignation in August, the West Islip resident was head of the Suffolk County Detectives Association, representing 450 detectives at the bargaining table in police contract negotiations for 8 years. A lifelong local resident, he is a graduate of Bayshore High School and attended New York Institute of Technology. He is married and has three children. Mahoney says his top priority is a financial solution to the Southwest Sewer District, and he will not vote for any major projects outside the district until the tax rate is stabilized for good. He feels all county residents should help pay for the sewers if necessary, because the sewer district protects everyone's drinking water. He also favors abandonment of Shoreham and says Loco, not ratepayers, should bear the cost. He also thinks county bus routes should be increased. In the 12th District, we have Sandra Bacchetti and Robert Del Call. Sandra Bacchetti doesn't appear to have an age, but she's the incumbent, running on the Democratic and sewer tax opposition party lines, and has been an active politician since 1965, when she first ran for a post on the Deer Park Library Board. From 1968 to 1980, she was a Babylon Town Councilwoman, and emerged again in January to run successfully for a county seat vacated by then-legislator Anthony Noto. This is her first run in a general election for the seat. She is married, the mother of five children, and lives in Deer Park. The prime issue, she said, is the burden that the Southwest Sewer District has placed on taxpayers in the district. She says that while not all residents in the district have been hooked up, they are still required to pay taxes, and advocates a leverage leasing arrangement to take a part of the tax bite of residents. She also said the county should step in and get involved in solid waste recovery plants on Long Island. Robert Del Call, 24, is on the Republican, Conservative, and Right to Life lines. The Deer Park resident is a Hofstra University law student who has never run for office before. He is a graduate of Holy Family High School, and received his bachelor's degree in political science from CW Post, graduating with honors. He served in the U.S. Marine Corps and as a legal research analyst with the Federal Emergency Management Agency. He believes that Southwest Sewer District taxes fall unfairly on the shoulders of district residents, and that the county should loan the district money to defray the interest cost, which would lighten the burden on taxpayers. Okay, this is your last chance, 246-7901, area code 516. tell us what you think of politics, of elections, of what I've been talking about. Is it boring as all hell? Is it interesting? What's going on? 246-7901, area code 516. If it was within my power to offer $1 million to the first caller, I'd do it, but I can't, so I won't. You have to call on your own goodwill. 246-7901, area code 516. The 13th and last, I believe. No, actually, it's not the last, but I'm not going to read 18 districts here, whatever amount of districts. The 13th district is the last one I am going to read from, okay? We have two candidates. We have Alice M. Beck and Jordan K. Wilson. All right, Alice M. Beck is 45. She's the incumbent running on the Republican, Conservative, and Right to Life lines. She won her legislative post in 1982 during a special election. A lifelong Babylon resident, she is the former town tax receiver, deputy clerk, and recording secretary for the Babylon Village Zoning Board of Appeals. She previously was a legal secretary and confidential secretary to former supervisor William T. Lauder. She is married and has two children. Beck said that she sees three major issues: taxes, the Southwest Sewer District, and the Shore Nuclear Power Plant. She would like to see district residents face no additional taxes, even if that means lowering the level of some government services. On the Southwest Sewer District, she supports the leverage leasing option and would like to see the countywide 1 cent sales tax pledge go into effect. She is opposed to allowing the Shoreham Nuclear Plant to go online. And Jordan K. Wilson, who is 45, is a Democrat, and he's making his first bid for public office. He is a mathematics teacher at John F. Kennedy High School in Plainview and has lived in North Babylon for 16 years with his wife and three children. For many years, Wilson has been active in the Plainview Old Bethpage Congress of Teachers, serving as building representative and contract negotiator. He is deputy superintendent of the Sunday School at Shaw Temple, AME Zion Church in North Babylon, and treasurer of its board of trustees. Wilson has been a Democratic committeeman for the past 6 years. Wilson is running on a platform which advocates better government services, more economic development, alternative financing of the Southwest Sewer District, and the public takeover of LOCO. Wilson said he would like to see government services improved in some sections of the district, and he believes that economic development could help ease problems of unemployment and substandard housing. Instead of tax increases, Wilson would like to investigate alternate ways of funding the Southwest Sewer District, such as financial help from federal and state sources. If no alternatives can be found, Wilson favors a countywide 1% sales tax. Well, well, well. That's enough from the Voter's Guide, which came out in yesterday's Newsday. Actually, I don't care who you vote for. I don't care who I vote for. I don't even want to hear about politics after all this. Honestly, I was looking forward to talking to Mr. Matheson, the independent candidate for county executive. There are all kinds of interesting questions I wanted to ask him. I wanted to ask him why he's having such difficulty with his campaign, why he's getting arrested all over the place and is constantly accusing people of harassing him and everything, and why he's running for Suffolk County Executive, what the connection is with the OBI, and what he's doing, and just who he is. But apparently, either it slipped his mind, or he doesn't take radio stations like ours seriously. It's unfortunate either way that the man was not here today to answer these questions. And if there are any people out there, I would hope that you would take this seriously into consideration when going to the ballots as to just who is responsible and who is not. In any event, I'll see you all next week on Chatterbox when hopefully our guest will show up. Our guest is Jan Hickman, Long Island Lighting Company, and she'll be talking about Shoreham and all kinds of things like that. So do give us a call then. And keep on listening to Radio Free Long Island. Goodbye, everybody.
else you want to go? River and gents, a waffle wow. Where else you want to go?
Stick in your dipstick, stick in your dipstick, stick in your dipstick, stick in your dipstick, a wa a wa, hey a ba la la la. Stick in your dipstick, a wa a wa, hey a ba la la la. Stick in your dipstick, a wa a wa, hey a ba la la la. Stick in your dipstick, a wa a wa, hey a ba la 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 la.
jugga dumpy dum dee dee dum dum
Barbara Bloom, producer and host of Second Bloom, WUSB's weekly call-in show, heard Wednesdays from 2:30 to 3:30 p.m., devoted to issues of concern to everyone, with particular focus on people over 40. Join me each week for a lively discussion on such topics as euthanasia, older adult abuse, lifelong sexual vigor, new medical advances, and much, much more. So I'll be hearing from you soon on Second Bloom on Wednesday's call-in program from 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. on WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM.
Send me a postcard, drop me a line, stating points of view.
Primary, Thursdays, 2:30 in the p.m. Primary, with Jim Caligiuri and guests from the music business. Primary. Music, talk, and your phone calls. Tune in to Primary, the first words in music, Thursdays at 2:30 in the p.m. at 90.1 FM, WUSB.
Stardate, November 7th. The constellation Aries is hard to pick out, but important in the history of the sky. More about it right after this.
Stardate is made possible through an underwriting grant by AP Computer Products, located at Computer Headquarters on Middle Country Road in Selden.
Stardate, November 7th. Aries always heads the list of signs of the zodiac. But the constellation Aries isn't first in the hearts of many sky watchers. Aries is tiny. Its three medium bright stars are so uninspiring that they aren't even called by their proper names. Instead, most stargazers call them simply Alpha, Beta, and Gamma Arietis. Alpha, Beta, and Gamma can now be seen overhead around 10 p.m. Since Aries is a zodiacal constellation, planets sometimes honor it with their presence. But there are no planets in Aries now, and you'll have to look hard to pick it out. The constellation may be inconspicuous, but its mythological background is rich. Aries is the ram that furnished Jason with the golden fleece. Aries' neighbor in the sky is the constellation Triangulum, which really looks like a little triangle. You probably can't see Triangulum from the city,